Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're on this present moment. This is Eric Castillo here with another beautiful episode of the Infinite Talks podcast. And today I have a special one. Man, I've been reading this book, Steve Jobs, by Isaac, I think it's Will, oh man, I forgot his name. I think it's William Isaacson. Yeah, that's his name. Something like that. But this guy wrote not an autobiography. He wrote a biography for Steve Jobs a few years back. And he has some interesting stories in there about Steve Jobs, especially the one I'm going to talk about today. I'm in chapter 5 right now, but first chapter was amazing. It's about his childhood, and I was like impressed by the trajectory that Steve Jobs had, man. This guy had everything against him. First of all, he was adopted. And because he was adopted, he changed his whole trajectory in life. His initial parents, the parents who gave birth to him, it was a Syrian dad and his mom from the States. But because they couldn't have a marriage, because the parents from both parties weren't having it, they said, you know what, we're going to give the baby off for adoption. And they agreed to do that. But with the agency that they went to, they're like, you know, under one condition, we're going to, you know, make sure that the baby gets adopted by a good family, someone with an educational background that's been to college, you know, with the degrees and all that good stuff. But so they said they found the family, right? They found the family that was going to adopt Steve Jobs before Steve Jobs was Steve Jobs, right? They're going to adopt the baby. And what happened was that right before, you know, it was time to adopt the baby, before he was born, they actually changed their mind. That initial couple that had, you know, everything, that all the requirements and all the standards that they wanted for the family to be the adopted family, right? So they ended up adopting a girl. And so the next family who was in line, or the next family who was of interest, was the Jobs family, which was Paul Jobs and his wife. So they ended up adopting Steve Jobs. But one of the cool stories about this is that they didn't have the criteria that the original parents had for the parents, right? Like, so the thing was that Steve Jobs' dad, Paul Jobs, was not a graduate. He was a military dude, ex-military veteran. And his mom, you know, they weren't graduates like the way they had, you know, put on the standards that they wanted. So when they found out that he had been adopted by a mechanic, because that's what Steve Jobs' dad was doing at that time, he was a mechanic, the mom was like, you know what, I want my kid back. So they tried to get him back, but because everything was finalized, papers had been signed and everything like that, they could not get Steve Jobs back. So everything changed. Steve Jobs had like A, B, or C, right? He could have stayed with the original parents. That would have been A. His dimension would have been totally different. B would have been, he would have been adopted by those educated parents. But no, that didn't happen. So it was C. C was the third option. And that's what made Steve Jobs Steve Jobs. So if you look at that story, like, I'm just giving you, like, I'm botching it up right here, man. I probably have more details that I could add here, because this story was just like, I was in awe the whole time. I was like, man, I couldn't believe it. Because like, any of those two options, the first two options, would have changed his whole trajectory in life. He would have been a totally different dude. He would have had a totally different experience, a whole different selection of decisions. He probably wouldn't have been Steve Jobs that we know today. He was a very intelligent kid, though. That's one thing that his parents found out at a very young age. They're like, this kid is different. This kid is way intelligent. They knew that he was extraordinary with intelligence. They could tell at a very young age. And one thing that they told him since the beginning was like, you know, Steve, you are adopted. You know, we can't have kids because your mom had a procedure in her reproductive system, and she can't have kids anymore, so we adopted you. And so I think in the story in the book, they say that Steve was very distraught by that, even though he had the best parents, very caring parents, very nice, always great to him, always did everything out of their way to make sure that he had all his needs met. So Steve had a great upbringing, man. But even though they were not like the high class, they were lower to middle class, or middle class, if you want to say. But his parents did everything in their power to make sure that Steve had all the things that he needed, which was school, you know, everything from anything he needed, they would try to get for him. Estaba chiflado el vato. And since the beginning, he knew that he was adopted. So I guess he always had a chip on his shoulder because he was very, very like, kind of like mean. He had like the meanness to him, to other people, like this, like he's always in a like a bad mood. I think that's what they were referring to during the first chapter. And even the second and third chapters, when they were talking about his high school and college career, they were just saying that Steve had a, you know, he always had this chip on his shoulder type of vibe, like very frank, very, very silly at times too. You know, he would play a lot of pranks, very into technology at a very young age. I think there was this part of in the first chapter where he found out how to use speakers as microphones. So he used the speakers, he wired up a speaker all over the house, like different type of speakers all over the house, and he used them as microphones. So he's listening to everybody's conversation. And his dad got mad because he's like, he knew that they found out that he was listening into his mom and his dad in their bedroom. And his dad got super mad at that. But at a very young age, he's very creative, very interested in what like technology was all about and stuff like that. He made friends with kids that were in Palo Alto, like in that area, Silicon Valley, you know, what became Silicon Valley. And it talks about that whole era of the upbringing of the high tech world there in San Francisco area, Palo Alto area, the Mountain View area, all the California area where like it became the hub for technology and electronics. And I think that was a pretty cool upbringing for him, because if he wouldn't have been with the families that he was supposed to be, he would have been in a whole different environment. One of the things that helped him, though, that even though his dad was a mechanic and later on became a used car salesman, but even then, later on in that Silicon Valley, he started working for a company in which he used this craftsmanship that he had learned at a young age. His dad, Paul Jobs, he worked with lasers. So when he started working with lasers, that was something else that Steve Jobs also picked up on. Like, he was learning from his dad, like, little tips and tricks for mechanics and engineering. And at a very young age, he just was very intrigued by that whole lifestyle of being in the technology world and in the back scenes, you know, behind the scenes. Not really in the forefront, but he had this leadership vibe to him since a very young age. And I think at fourth grade, since he was too smart for his fourth grade class and he was always bored, they moved him to seventh grade. So like, imagine my boy's in fourth grade right now, and all of a sudden he gets moved to seventh grade with a bunch of pelados, crazy guys. I'm like, no way, bro. And I was reading that part, like, I would not let my son go to seventh grade with a bunch of crazies, you know. And like, they would, you know, las engarras, you know, las andavas, you know. So, like, you start thinking, like, man, if he goes to seventh grade, Steve Jobs had to be, like, a tough, mentally tough kid. But, no, he actually had a hard time there. He had to actually get out of that school. And he told his parents, look, if you guys want me to be in this school because I'm smart or whatever, I'm not going to go to school. I'm going to quit school right now. He's like, you need to put me in a better school or I'm quitting school. So considering the fact that they already had tried to get him in the best schools and all that stuff, his parents like really had to really dig deep, get more income, and then put him in a nicer school with higher income kids and all that stuff, higher income families. And they did that. They did that for Steve. So he continued seventh grade. Because I think in the other school, he was getting bullied. He was getting, you know, just typical seventh grade, man. Bunch of knuckleheads. And it was a bad school. There was a lot of gangs there, a lot of other stuff, a lot of things going on. So when he got moved to that other school, that's when he started meeting other kids that were like in his mindset with technology. You know, their parents were engineers, or they were working in the .com area. You know, like they were working in all that stuff where the high tech people, right? And he met friends that became lifelong friends with him. Steve Wozniak, which helped them do a lot of things as far as engineering goes and creating things that electronically and all that good stuff. Very good friend of his, Steve Wozniak. They call him Woz. But Steve, this whole time, like, he was just always eager to find out why his parents, original parents, gave him up. And that was his, probably one of his lifelong challenges, to figure that out and to be okay with it. Because he always thought, like, his parents were good. Like, his parents that adopted him were very good to him. But he always longed to know his real parents and why the adoption. And his parents actually were very well off. His real dad, his real biological father, and his mother, they were both graduates. They, I think, his dad was Syrian, and he was very, very wealthy. And he actually has a sister that he had with those parents, you know, that he later on in life met. Her name is Mona Simpson. And they met later on in life before Steve died. But it was a crazy first 4 or 5 chapters. I was like, man, this is intense. I need to talk about this, because Steve Jobs created so many cool ideas, but he had to go through so much turmoil just from the beginning, man, from beginning of birth. He had to go through so much different, you know, like situations of hardship that maybe a lot of us wouldn't even be able to surpass that. You know, just sometimes when they tell you a truth, you get crushed and you're not able to get back up. And for him, instead of like getting crushed and not being able to do anything, he used that energy to propel him into the next. I guess he wanted to make himself stand out as much as possible, to be like, you know what, you fucked up by letting me go. You messed up, because now look at me. Like, I'm really good without you guys. I didn't need you at this whole time. But it's like a catch-22, because if he wouldn't have been in that situation, he wouldn't have done what he'd done. You know, so it's like it's a hard place, man. It's a hard place to be in. But look at all the magical things that he created, from Apple, from working with Atari. He worked with Atari. He worked with a lot of companies that were coming up in the 60s and 70s, I guess, yeah, 70s. And it was amazing to see the trajectory of Steve Jobs, you know, becoming the... And I'm still not done with that book, so I'm going to continue on reading. But this first 5 chapters, man, fucking amazing. I highly recommend reading up in his biography. I don't think he wrote an autobiography. And if he did, I need to read it. But one of the things that really stood out in these first 4 or 5 chapters is that he was always looking for enlightenment. And I guess that was his inner peace that he's trying to get, like, because of his turmoil that was going on in his reality, you know, in his own life. He was always looking to see why he was here. And so he started reading books and meeting hippies, you know, doing LSD, doing all kinds of drugs, to find his why, you know, why he was here. Because he was successful and all that stuff, but he always wanted to know why he was in his path and what path he had chosen and what path was given to him. So he was always looking for that enlightenment. So he started reading books like The Autobiography of a Yogi. He read that a long time ago, man. And it's one of the books I've read too. So I'm like, man, when you read that book, you must have changed a lot in the ways of thinking. And I think Steve did, but you can tell that in the story, a lot of the people that he affiliated with, they tell stories about him being stubborn and being a certain way and being hard with them sometimes and being rude at times. But within that diamond in the rough, he has some kindness that grew on him as he aged. And I'm waiting to read the latter part of that book so I can get to those stories where they talk about Steve in a different light. But for the most part, right now, between chapters 1 and 5 and the prologue, they talk about him in a different facet, different light, the way he was in his young life. And he was a very egotistic, I'm ready to get what I want, when I want, very aggressive towards the things that he wanted. And he accomplished a lot because he's very... he would like to bend reality. You know, he play with the people's minds. So he went to India. I didn't know he had gone to India. And he quit college. He went to one of the most prestigious colleges in the West Coast. I think it was Reed's College. Very expensive college to go to. His parents did everything and they could do to get him into that college because it was very expensive. But he wanted to go there. But it was a waste of time for him because he actually... Well, not really a waste of time because he met some people there that became lifelong friends as well. They were also on the journey to find and manifest and to meditate and to learn what their purpose was in life and the meaning of, you know, their existence. And they just wanted to see the enlightenment, you know. And he met those two people, which was a couple, and they took him and they also opened the doors for him. And they brought him to other chapters of his life, which was like the whole journey of going into India, living there for months, and then coming back to the States, going back to his parents with a different mindset, and then working with Atari. And then, dude, when he worked with Atari, I was like, dude, I cannot believe this guy worked with Atari. And then he met the guys that inspired him to open up Apple. So I was like, man, I'm waiting to read the next chapters of this book because I know it's going to give me so much details on the intricate stuff that he had to go through to open up and start up his own business, you know, Apple, the Apple company. But it's just, think about it, man. Like, what if he would have been with the original parents? That life story still is going on in some form or fashion. And then he has a story about if he would have lived with the second of the first adoptive parents, right? And then they didn't choose him, but he lived with the Paul Jobs family. And that became his lifelong journey of enlightenment and reaching new heights, reaching new levels, self-determination, you know, going through adversity. Just thinking about that, I think anybody who's gone through a tough situation like that, it can hinder you from a lot of things, but it can also propel you. And I think Steve used it for propelling him into other levels. Pretty cool story, man. I'm going to keep y'all in tune with this story. My take is just that you're born and you are where you have to be. It's been one of my slogans that I've used in the last few years, that you are where you have to be. Doesn't matter if it's good or bad. At that point, that experience that you're living, it's a learning experience, and it's going to propel you to the next chapter in your life. But you need to be in your 100% true empowered self, or figure out how to get there so you can move and, you know, create stuff that you want to create in this lifetime before you go. Look at all the stuff that Steve Jobs did between his birth all the way to his death. He went through so many challenges, but he created so many great things as well. And a lot of people were inspired by his life and his teachings and his leadership. So I just wanted to talk about that today. I thought it was pretty cool. I wanted to share that with you guys. But I want to thank everybody who's been a listener, a subscriber to the show. Infinite Talks Podcast has grown a lot this year. We got the Spotify Wrap, and it shows that a tremendous growth in all areas, from episodes to guests to views to shares to top fives and people's podcast preference. And very thankful for everybody, man. Very thankful. I'm very thankful that God has given me the opportunity to have this platform and to have the vision of creating energy by using my voice and inspiring others to do great things. Because I love that when you're alive, you can inspire others with your stories, or you can inspire others with your energy. And that's what I'm here for, man. I want to make sure that the next generations have the skill set and the awareness that they can make great changes in their life to make great impacts not only in their life, but the other people's lives. So I'm very happy for all the beautiful stories I've read and all the beautiful stories I've shared here in the podcast from all the guests that have been part of this podcast this year, 2023. Wrapping up the year is going to be awesome. Also, I want to share my gratitude to Mr. Happy Oscar for being a great supporter and an inspiring individual who's led me to, you know, continue and be consistent with this craft of mine and this craft that he've motivated to do. We've been podcasting together for many years now, and this year we started again the switch, so we're going to continue doing that. I know it's been a little bit laid back this past couple of weeks, but we're getting back on track with that. And also want to give thanks to everybody who's been a proud supporter for the Infinite Talks podcast and all the things that you all do by tuning in, man. That's amazing. And if you subscribe, that'll be even better. $1 in the subscribe part is going to give 2 more dollars a year for this podcast to grow exponentially and be able to, you know, share my frequencies all over the world. I think right now we're in 5 countries where they listen to this podcast. That's some pretty amazing stuff, man. And also, big shout out to Gabriel Garza from Moon Lane Coffee for donating this book, the Steve Jobs book. I've been intrigued with this book and I can't stop reading every day. I read a page or two or three or four, depending on how much time I have. But it's a very intriguing book, and I go shop at Moon Lane Coffee. They have really good coffee there. Shout out to Kike, Gabriel, and everybody in their staff. So, peace out. Thank you so much for tuning in again. Remember, we're not a brand. We are frequency.